Hello, America. Hello, Internet. Hello, computers and laptops and iPhones and whatnot. It is the Loftus Party, a particularly sick Loftus Party today. I'm fighting a cold, so I'm just going to let you know right up front. I think the Liberty Gypsy just got over her cold. She probably
used gypsy.
Ow, I just bit my cheek. See, that's not a good sign when you bite your cheek, like right at the top of the show. You probably used like Eye of Newt. And the you probably had some crazy gypsy recipe where you had to use the nail of a river otter.
Yeah, it was called NyQuil and DayQuil.
That's what they call it nowadays. That's what they call it nowadays. But it's really made with like nail of river otter. I'm on day three.
Day three.
What am I looking at here? What's the forecast, Liberty Gypsy? Look into your constitutional crystal ball.
The forecast thing is this is a hanger on, dude. I still have some sneezing and coughing going on a couple weeks later, so you know.
I always try to stay away from the over the counter medicines, the prescription medications. Whatever, they scare me. Like Tylenol, Advil, it all scares me.
I tried to stay away. After 4 days, there was no option.
I tell you what, last night around midnight, my legs and my butt cheeks, I'm like, what have I done? You just couldn't get comfortable? Oh, man, I gobbled up that Tylenol so fast, my liver exploded. I'm just like, put it in me. I must have relief. So I'm doing okay. I'm not going to complain. So here's what I did, the big news last night. I started watching that show on Netflix, Stranger Things.
Yeah?
It is awesome. It is awesome.
See, I caught up on my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Is that any good? Because I tell you what, I watched all three seasons.
All three seasons on Netflix. My son thought I had some kind of illness. And season four has been on ABC. And because I was catching up on Netflix, I didn't know that. So I went back yesterday and watched them all. And I'm now current.
They did some big giant reset on that show. I think it was between seasons one and two. They made a good guy, a bad guy, a double agent. They kind of cleaned house. It's always funny to watch like a showrunner do that when they realize, oh, man, I'm way off track here. We're going to have to kill some people. Some people are going to have to be double agents. We got to do a massive reset. That's Josh Whedon's little brother, I think.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I just know that it's very comfortable for me in that particular universe because the good guys and the bad guys are very apparent.
Well, hopefully now, after they made that one good guy a bad guy, I was very disappointed at that.
I was so glad when he died.
Ah, spoiler alert. Yes! I haven't even seen that part yet. But is anybody really dead in the Marvel universe?
Not really.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. So this is a great transition. From Josh Whedon's little brother doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Josh Whedon, guy himself. Joss. Is it Joss or Josh?
Joss. J-O-S-S.
Joss. See, already you've kind of – he kind of loses one right there. No, my name is Joss. Mm-hmm. Joss. Well, so he went kind of crazy.
Yeah, completely beclowned himself. I don't even want to say out loud what he tweeted, and I'm like not some real big prude or anything like that, but it was absolutely disgusting.
Well, you know what? And here's the deal. Here's what bugged me about it. In case you're wondering, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said something like, "I want a rhinoceros to put its horn in Paul Ryan's butt until he dies, because it's funny." He said in all quotes or in all caps, because it's funny. Now, here's what I hate about that. Here's what I really don't like about it. It's that neener, neener. Like I used funny in all caps. I used funny. It's not hate speech because I use the word funny. Is that what it is? Is like you can say whatever you want as long as you can say because it's funny.
And I don't think so. And I think also, you know, if you took it in reverse, right, and someone on the right said something about like that about Nancy Pelosi or who's the other one I'm thinking, Barbara Boxer back in the day, Kamala Harris, you know,
anybody.
Oh my God, the vapors would be, you just wouldn't even be able to understand how awful it was, right? But I mean, here's this guy who has a position in Hollywood, he's had some hits, he's the Avengers dude, all good stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then he comes out with something like that and he's like, oh, but because it's funny? No, that's not funny. That's just gross.
Yeah, and you're not, and that's just that's what I hate about it. It's like, no, I followed the rules of Twitter. I followed the rules. See what I did? Weren't we supposed to have extra credit? Weren't you supposed to give us a pop quiz? I took the rules. I used the word funny. Just a douchebag move off of a.
But we have another all caps tweeter too.
Who's that?
Rosie O'Donnell.
What did she do? It's this. This might be our Twitter show. We might just this talk might about nothing Twitter but Twitter. Show.
Well, it's not just Twitter. It, to me, it's the whole idea, because they're doing videos about this. You know, if you haven't seen all three of the vapid videos about, oh my God, we're just dying because Donald Trump was elected. I mean, they're just like, stop making them, please, Hollywood, stop making those videos. We just don't care anymore. Okay, yeah. But. No, she decides to go out and support this idea that we should impose martial law to prevent the inauguration. So because she's so scared that Donald Trump might be some kind of tyrant, we should implement tyranny.
See,
like,
that is,
I'm like
that
not
is,
the only one who says, wow, that's some serious irony.
How do we get that message out there? Because that's what this whole election cycle, that has been the great hypocrisy of it all. They go, oh, man, Donald Trump rallies. He's just super violent. And it's like the early days of Nazi Germany. And then it's the Trump supporters who are getting spit on and getting stuff thrown at them and are being chased down through the park. I mean, it's like,
or, you know, kidnapped in Chicago.
Good Lord. I keep forgetting about that one. I keep forgetting about that one.
But I mean, the other whole narrative, I guess, that makes me go, you people are just insane. Do you remember when Donald Trump said, you know, if I lose in places that have high voting irregularities like Chicago and Minneapolis, I might ask for some additional details, right?
Yes, and that was dangerous talk.
That was dangerous talk. Dangerous talk, you know, killing the institutions of democracy. Now you have these people, and I guess there's some big rally that's going to have – well, it's just getting bigger and bigger because Michael Moore's going to be there. But that's supposed to happen outside of Trump rally – or Trump Tower. These people actually think they can stop the constitutionally prescribed inauguration on January 20th.
It is going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is my concern about it. These people who want to protest the election of Donald Trump, they're going to have these big marches. There's going to be some stuff thrown. It's going to get a little out of control. The police are going to have to step in, and that is just going to hijack everything. Everything will be hijacked because arrests will be made. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's a and complete then, self-fulfilling prophecy.
And then the story will be, here comes the boot jack, the jack-booted thugs. Here come the brown shirts. Here come the – look what they did. And I'm not looking forward to that at all. I'm not.
I'm not looking forward to it either. But, I mean, the ultimate hypocrisy here is, if you think that, oh, it's dangerous to democracy, but now you have people actually advocating for things – that would stop the process from going. And Michael, you know me, I was not a Trump supporter.
No, you were not.
I wasn't a Hillary supporter. But
no, you were not.
I would have accepted the results of the election either way.
Yeah.
That's how we do things here.
My friend, Pete Coriale, when Obama won, Pete Coriale, very, very funny stand-up comedian. I remember we were playing Vegas together after Obama won, and he's like, dude, are you gonna be all right? And I'm like, yeah, you know, we've got the Constitution, there's the Senate, there's Congress, it's a balance of powers over here. I'm not gonna freak out. And he's like, man, that's the difference between our sides, man, because if McCain had won, oh dude, we'd be throwing rocks into states. And I'm like, I guess that is the difference.
It's the complete difference. And the other one I love is this whole idea of, we should all be a slave to the extra, you know, 3 million votes in California. No, California. That's the beauty of federalism. We used to have a guy on this show that talked about the states being a little laboratory of democracy. You know what? California, you can be as progressive as your voters will allow you to be. And you are. The rest of us just don't want that.
Yeah, I'm done with – there's two narratives before that they're trying to get going here. But I want to get your opinion on this. At the flip side, Loftus, I just quoted this dude's tweet. Martin O'Malley tweeted this. Now is not the time for reconciliation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer didn't reconcile with the Nazis. Martin Luther King didn't reconcile with the KKK. Now we fight.
Okay, first of all, Martin O'Malley was such a stellar governor that he was followed by a Republican, which never happens in Maryland. Okay, so I think Martin O'Malley may not be the best gauge of what good government looks like.
Well, I'm just saying, no. Specifically, the tweet. Isn't that like he's organizing?
Well,
isn't
he's
that
organizing.
Like right up there? Isn't that like just this side of treason?
Well, I mean, that's the whole hashtag of hashtag the resistance, right? I mean, all of these people from Meryl Streep to Joss Whedon to Martin O'Malley to the other person who completely beclowned himself, you know, yesterday and today, John Lewis. All of this.
That's two beclowns, if you're counting at home. That's two beclowns.
Sorry.
Don't be. I like it very much. It is a really good one. It's a really good one, but it's a spice. It's like cilantro.
Yeah. You can't overuse it.
No,
well,
I could
use more colorful language, but I was like on a roll and the only things that popped in were like profanity and things. So I had to. Like,
oh, that's OK. Hey, I like Beclown. I'm a big fan. Yeah. But John Lewis, we'll have to get to that, dude. That was hilarious.
The reaction was even more hilarious. I'm from Georgia. He's part of the Georgia delegation. I watched his testimony in Jeff Sessions' confirmation hearing, and I was mortified. But anyway, because he was just so ridiculous. But, you know, when you look at all of this, this narrative, we need to change the Constitution. We need to dump the Electoral College. We need to, you know, decide that the Senate is decided by nationwide popular vote. I saw that today, and that was like, what? I mean, all of this, they want to change everything because they lost an election.
And here's the great hypocrisy. They're angry with Donald Trump because he's supposed to be a populist, which what they're advocating for is the ultimate populism.
Oh, that's that is truly rich. Well, here's the other thing. It's going to be all this fascism and terribleness and, oh my God, all these identity groups are going to suffer. Okay. Yeah, he's really anti-LGBTQ because Caitlyn Jenner is going to his inauguration. You know, can we wait until the guy is in office? You know, he's not an anti-Semite. For God's sake, his daughter and her entire family are Jewish. I mean, just some of this just so defies reality and common sense. It's really frightening.
That is it's a real thing, I believe. Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
And I really encourage anybody. I don't know how many people who vote Democrat listen to this show. Hopefully there's some. Because I don't feel like I'm just like a a ventriloquist dummy for the right. But like if you're watching nothing but CNN and you're watching nothing but MSNBC, it's you really do think it's the end of time. This is the end of days. I watched because I think on last week's show I mentioned that I never watched CNN, and so I felt a little guilty about that, you know, like I should. So I thought, oh, I'll watch some of this Fareed Zakakawa guy, right?
That was a bad choice.
According to Fareed Zakazaka, the guy, it's Zakaria. The end of days. Yeah. It is the end of days, and he has experts coming on there. Just doing nothing but talking about hypotheticals. But if you watch Fareed Zakazaka, all you think is like North Korea is going to have a nuke tomorrow. Donald Trump is going to just start World War III and it's game. It's game, set, and match. It's over. It's over.
Well, you know, we talked about last week, Frank there moving to New Zealand.
Yeah, Frank Luntz.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm starting to think Frank might have a pretty good idea. I don't know how hard it is to get like dual citizenship. I'm a dual citizenship citizen holder of the United States and Ireland. But
cool.
Oh yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah. My family came to. It's why I get so upset about the illegal immigration thing because my great grandfather came over here during the time of no Irish need apply. Yep, like with straight up racism.
Yep.
Straight up, they put the sign in the window. Mm-hmm. Don't even bother. Changed his name, and I'm sure that tricked a lot of people. Went from O'Donohue to Donohue. Mm-hmm. So wait, are you Irish? Oh no, look at the certificate. It says Donohue. No, wait, your accent. Oh no, I'm from Italy.
They have no Italian signs too.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, however, I don't know how maybe Frank Luntz is connected, but if people are going to lose their mind over Donald Trump so bad, and it's going to be this self-fulfilling prophecy, it might not be. I mean, I might look into it. I might look into New Zealand as an option or Australia.
I'm looking into those islands off the shore of Belize, which you can pick up for about $100,000.
You love Belize.
I love Belize. Belize that is this, great.
That is the second time you've brought up Belize.
I love Belize. They speak English.
Have you ever
They're
been
very
there?
Very friendly. They let you do pretty much whatever you want.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
That's good. Oh, here's another tweet. Oh, no, 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 no. We got to talk about this John Lewis thing.
Yes.
Okay. I love it. I love, love, love it when you can see the narrative just being laid out there, and they just try to see if it, you know, gets some traction. If you read like the New York Times, the LA Times, those magazines and newspapers, it looks like Donald Trump woke up and just like went after John Lewis.
Yeah, no, that's
like
not
he
what
just
happened.
Like he just woke up and went like, I hate that black man. Wapow! Seriously. And then you look into
John Lewis.
And you're like, wow, John Lewis took a hit. John Lewis took a little swipe at Donald Trump, and Trump hit back.
Well, yeah, he basically said Donald Trump is an illegitimate president. There we go back to the legitimacy of our founding principles and the process by which we elect a leader. And John Lewis just put it out there. Well, here's the thing, John Lewis. I can respect your participation in the civil rights movement. I really can. But I can also boil it down to say you said something really dumb today.
Oh,
it's like
my
just
gosh.
Because you did something in 1960-something doesn't mean you're free from criticism for the rest of your life, or you all would leave John McCain alone.
Yeah. There's no such thing as like a giant get-out-of-jail-free pass.
No.
I did some research on John Lewis. You know what his other big accomplishment is? Other than getting beat up by some Democrats on a bridge in 1960, whatever.
You're not allowed to say that, Michael.
What?
I know. You know the truth. I know the truth. But if you ever tell a Democrat that they founded the KKK, they start talking to you about the Southern strategy and how all the Democrats became Republicans.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, the other thing John Lewis did, he's the first congressman to write a comic book.
Really?
That's it. That is it. The dude is a professional politician. He's a political machine. He just he sits and he protests and blah 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 blah.
Oh, he was one of the ones that did the protest last year when they did the sit-in in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was front and center for that. Look, I'm from Georgia. That man loves a camera. He really does. And I watched because I was curious. You know, I'm interested in the cabinet. I really am. Probably more interested than I've been in a while. And, you know, I actually was watching the confirmation hearing. So I watched Mad Dog, you know, ask for his waiver. I watched Tillerson because he's my biggest question mark right now. And I was actually pretty okay with what he answered. You know, and I watched Sessions, not a huge fan, but have no major argument with the guy. And, you know, listening... John Lewis and Cory Booker and one other representative went up and testified. They've never worked with Sessions outside of Congress, really don't know him personally, know nothing about what he did in the state of Alabama. And basically, they just got up there and talked about the 1960s racism. So they took this great big card, and because Sessions is a white Southern Republican of a certain age, they made all these assumptions. And I must give Senator Sessions people a huge round of applause because they paraded a bunch of people who've worked with Jeff Sessions for years that called every single one of those people out. And I was just clapping.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is. It's kind of predictable. It's like, oh, okay, old white guy from the South. Let's go with racist. I'm gonna say racist on that.
Well, being that
didn't he tell a joke in like 1978? Isn't that his big crime?
Yeah, that's his huge crime. Never mind that he put, you know, a KKK Grand Wizard to death. That's not enough of a.
And I love that. That's always the comeback, like, of the talking heads. He killed a Grand Wizard of the KKK. Like, I don't think that proves you're not a racist.
It doesn't prove you're not a racist, but it certainly proves you don't give somebody a pass.
Oh, that had to be a bad day for that KKK guy. Yeah. Because, like, there's that moment of hope where, like, ooh, there's a white guy in charge. And then you find out, no, he really has to make a statement here that he's not a racist. Oh.
I don't know that that's exactly how it went, but.
Oh, in my little comedic musings, that's exactly how it went. There's a KKK guy in prison thinking, oh, at least the white guy will help me. And they're like, oh, bad news. The white guy's got to make a statement that he's not a racist. So to the electric chair.
Yeah, but I mean, it's such a dog and pony show. My favorite was your senator, Miss Harris. Oh, my God. You're a first term senator. Sit down and shut up.
What craziness was she talking? I know she had some. Was it climate change? Was that her thing?
Yeah, she's vetting Pompeo, the guy, you know, being proposed to lead the CIA. And her big thing was, I want a CIA director who cares about climate change. Really? I want a CIA director that cares about gathering good intelligence and appropriately informing my executive and congressional branches.
Yeah, like, that's just straight up crazy.
She didn't even have a clue what the CIA does.
Zero clue. So that's like right up there with, like, she thinks that Austin Powers has a weather machine or like Dr. Evil. Like, I want the CIA to find out where this man keeps his weather machine, and we need to turn that thing off and blow it up.
My God.
Get me Austin Powers. Oh, speaking of the CIA and intelligence gathering, that's the big one. We've completely buried the lead here. It's the big BuzzFeed CNN press conference smackdown.
Yeah, but that wasn't CIA intelligence. That was a private intelligence gatherer that was hired by both Republican opponents of Donald Trump during the primary and obviously the Democratic Party thereafter to collect opposition research. So
I loved that press conference. I loved that press conference. That was the best. All I saw was the clip of Trump just going, no, stop talking. You're being rude. Stop talking. You're being rude. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to her. It was fantastic. No, you're a disgrace. It's fake news. That was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Well, I totally agree with his perspective that the press conference is not a place nor the appropriate forum for CNN to defend itself. However, I will say this. It was BuzzFeed that put all this stuff out there, and he was lumping CNN and BuzzFeed in together when that's not what CNN did. So,
well, here's what you get. Here's what you get, Liberty Gypsy. You get another self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. BuzzFeed takes the hit, and they're like, listen, we don't know if this is true. We can't prove any of this stuff. It's like all like rumor and innuendo. But check this out. And then CNN comes out and they do a story on BuzzFeed. Like, oh, this BuzzFeed. So it legitimizes it.
CNN launched first and said that the 2-page dossier had been given to Trump, and then BuzzFeed followed with posting it. But I mean, here's my whole thing, right? My whole thing is simply this. We now have the phrase golden showers in the political vernacular of the United States of America. It's like, really, guys, you're just going to put this out there? I mean, where is a journalistic standard? I think I employ basic journalistic standards in my own purview of the news better than most journalists do. I look for three people to say something before I like pay too much attention to it.
Well, all I know is this. Somewhere, you know, R. Kelly is smiling. R. Kelly feels vindicated.
Vindicated and, how?
Oh, that was R. Kelly's whole thing.
Ah.
He was way into that. The guy who wrote Johnny Be Good, that guy.
Jeez.
So yeah. But here's the funny thing. Like, immediately, you know, that was a piece of fan fiction written on 4chan, right?
Well, that's what 4chan says, and the guy who actually collected it said no. So yeah.
I'm sure they did. I think it's fantastic. And then I love how CNN went with the picture of Donald Trump lying in bed when that was actually a screenshot from a Kanye West video. That was hilarious. That was hilarious.
I missed that one. I pretty much totally checked out of that after, I don't know, an hour or two of watching television and watching it on my feeds, because I'm like, okay, this has now just become like
fake news.
I hate that hashtag when the left uses it, and I don't like it when the right uses it. And because to me, that implies that you and I are not smart enough to look at something and look around us and go, okay, what is this?
Well,
is this true? Is it untrue? Is there a shred of truth in here?
It's part of an ongoing smear campaign. That's all it is. Like these dumbass douchebags who start talking about journal, like that guy, that show on Media Matters on Fox. I struggle through that show every week. But like, seriously, you cannot connect the dots. You cannot connect the dots that CNN has been on a as an active part of a smear campaign against all Republican leadership and presidential candidates from its inception.
Yeah.
And like here's the great thing that BuzzFeed made happen, that BuzzFeed and CNN made happen, is like you just said, well, now golden showers are in the, so now it'll always be on there because, and it wasn't true. There's not a shred of truth with it, but now you've got, I want to say you got the stink on you, but like it's there and you cannot erase it. And that is what they want. And this whole thing, Russia hacked the election, it drives me bonkers. And that one's worked. I have to doff my cap to them. They have successfully done that. The majority of Americans, I firmly believe, I have no poll to back this up, but I really believe that the majority of Americans will be like, yeah, that was the election the Russians hacked.
Yeah. And that, again, to me, that whole idea of fake news, Russians hacking the election. And most of this stuff comes from the left. I'm not denying it. Right. That whole idea, those ideas are so very dangerous. Right. And they use language.
What ideas?
The idea of Russia hacking the election. No voting machine was hacked. To the best of our knowledge, no voting process was somehow manipulated by the Russians. If it's a paper process like you like
exactly.
so much,
exactly.
Nothing like that ever happened. What happened is WikiLeaks got a hold of some emails from John Podesta and the DNC. They did skeevy stuff. They did lousy, lousy stuff, and they got caught.
Yes.
And
it's remarkable that the WikiLeaks showed how the Democrats and the mainstream media were trying to manipulate the people of this nation, and they were trying to manipulate the election, and somehow that turns into the Russians hacked the election.
Yeah, I don't get that leap of logic. But here's the other thing that's occurred to me in the last, week or so that literally cracks me up. The mainstream media and the DNC wanted Hillary Clinton to run against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's in the WikiLeaks email.
Yes.
She got what she wanted. She lost. And they blame us.
Yes, we discussed this on this show like a month ago.
I know.
It's hilarious.
They had a
list of candidates that they wanted to run against, and Donald Trump was at the top of that list because that's how they felt it would be the easiest way to manipulate the election. Mm-hmm. And they got exactly what they wanted, and boom, whoops upside the head. I said whoops upside your head. Smack. It's awesome.
I know. And please make no mistake about it. If Marco Rubio had been elected, if Ted Cruz had been elected, if any of the 16 candidates who were originally in the primary had been elected, they would be Hitler. They would be a fascist. They would be all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've been using that language since John McCain, basically, maybe even before, but certainly, you know, since I've been voting and, you know, all of that, the right is fascism, which kills me. Here was the other thing that happened. I don't know if you got this one or not.
Talk to me, Goose.
Donald Trump has discussed with his communications team moving press conferences out of the press briefing room in the White House temporarily until it can be expanded to the executive office building where everybody works, okay, so that they can include more people, up to three times as many members of the media and the press. They had so many people ask for press credentials to his last press conference. They're like, you know, I don't know that 49 is enough. The gatekeepers who are used to being in one of those 49 chairs are freaking out.
Yeah, I saw Sean Spicer talking about this very thing this morning, and he's like, an experiment. We're going to try it. We're going to try to get more reporters in there. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to try something new, and if it doesn't work, then we'll go back to the old way. But what's the problem? You know what else CNN did that was really just total douchebaggery at its highest level? For the Trump press conference, they reserved 8 seats in the front row. 8 seats in the front row. Because they want to make sure they had a seat in the front row. In the front row. Nah, 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 nah. You know what? Barack Obama didn't take a question from Fox News for like the first 22 press conferences he ever had. Like, he just pretended that they didn't exist. So guess what? Elections have consequences. And CNN, he's not going to answer your shit for a while. That's just how it goes.
I think if I remember correctly, Barack Obama had 2 appearances on Fox News, one during the midterms in 2014 and one to stump for Hillary Clinton. He never really had a one-on-one interview with any Fox personality about his policies, about his presidency. He had YouTube stars in the White House, but, you know.
I think he might have done a sit down with Bill O'Reilly at one point.
I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, I think he did. But yeah, he tried to get Fox News like thrown out and mm-hmm. not even allowed in the building.
Yep.
He was tapping phones of Rosen and doing all kinds of so CNN can cry me a river.
Well, but
I have a dossier on my desk right here, and I can't say that this is true, and I don't know who wrote it. I can't back this up with any facts, but Fareed Zakarwa likes a Cleveland steamer.
Oh my God.
Can't back it up with facts. Can't back it up. In fact, oh, there it goes. It disintegrated in my hand. That must have been some crazy science fiction paper. But Fareed Zakarwa, that guy's into some sick stuff.
Well, I just love that the idea of including more members of the press that you and I can peruse and take a look at and say, okay, where else can I find this? Can this be verified somewhere else? So more people watching government to the left at this point is fascism because it won't be in the White House.
Well, yeah,
it's crazy.
And CBS tweeted out today, CBS News. Had a tweet is like, here's a gallery of pictures of Barack and Michelle Obama that'll make you, it'll pull your heartstrings and make you cry. And you're like, what part? Wait, what is this? Is this like fanboy reporting? What? How is that news? Here's a collection of photos that'll tug at your heartstrings about how awesome the president and Michelle Obama are. Like, you can't talk about like journalistic integrity when you're just like fawning all over the president. Boy, I remember that lovely lovely thing they did when George Bush was leaving. Here's some pictures of President and First Lady Laura Bush that'll tug it. No, I don't remember that either.
I have no recollection. But
like,
I will
get
say
out,
this.
Criminal.
I lied on the last podcast.
What?
I lied on the last podcast. I said I was not watching that farewell address. I just wasn't going to do it. I had no interest. So I watched the farewell address. And yeah, I'd like to give a prop to some progressive leftists. I did hear the one thing Barack Obama did that I ever agreed with, which was eliminate Osama bin Laden from the face of the earth. Props.
Yeah,
well
that was,
done.
That was super brave. That was super,
super brave.
Brave
sending some other guys in there. But
I swear, I don't ever need to hear that. Like, that's the other one. It's like Barack Obama went over there dressed as Tarzan, covered in mud, armed with nothing but a sharp stick, and killed Osama bin Laden himself.
He gave the order. Yeah, I agree with
so
it. So that's
brave.
The one thing he
so
did
brave.
That I agreed with.
Yes.
And when it suits their purposes and their emotional makeup, the progressive left can cheer and tear up over a traditional marriage and family situation like nobody's business.
Yeah.
When the rest of the time they implement policies to try to ruin it and, you know, aren't that fond of it.
Here's I watched it as well. And I heard Barack Obama asking for a peaceful transition of power.
Good deal.
He goes, just like George Bush did for me. I have to do this for the next guy. And I'm like, good on you, buddy. Way to go.
Yep.
Way to go. However, the rest of that speech was just political theater at its finest.
Yep.
I had John Favreau on this show a few months ago. No, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy and a talented writer. He's a he wrote a bunch of speeches for Obama. I mean, that is not that dude. Listen, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Like, he is such a compelling speaker. He is such a crafted speaker. It's fantastic. The tears right on cue. Everything. It's just, it's a wonderful thing to watch. It's a masterclass. He should really be on Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton. He is that good. And his daughter's crying and Michelle's looking all humble and pretty and sad. And you're like, oh, see, like, I find myself, it's like, it's in Raiders of the Lost Ark when they're like, don't look at it. Don't look at it. If you watch an Obama speech long enough, you will find yourself going, hey, he's a good guy. He's an okay guy.
Yeah, no, because you know what? In there, embedded into that whole speech was your favorite phrase from the left.
Which is?
We still have a lot of work to do.
Oh, my gosh. We still have a lot of work to do. Yeah, and
there's
Trump,
work to do.
Trump is the Nazi, and they're talking. That's like, yeah, something you hear over the loudspeaker at Auschwitz. There's still work to do. There must be work.
Or, from my perspective, there's a lot of work to undo, but that has more to do with my political leanings. So,
well, more personal freedom, getting rid of all these regulations. Oh, my gosh. We got to stick to that message. It is crazy. And here's the other narrative. Yeah. This other narrative, like, we got 20 million people. Are on the Obamacare. 20 million people. What? Hey, listen, they've been on there for a couple years, and the only reason they're on there is because you said they'd be in trouble if they didn't do it. So stop bragging about the 20 million people.
Well, and it's not just that. Not all of those 20 million people were uninsured to begin with. About two-thirds of them were kicked off the plans they had because of Obamacare.
Yeah.
Just stop, people. Just stop. So that was like the big news a little bit earlier this week. The Senate did this really great, 1 a.m. vote on the budget reconciliation.
Yeah.
Used the exact same process that Nancy Pelosi used to shove it down our throat in 2009. I thought that was poetic justice.
I did, too. Mm-hmm. I love that part. Hey, if you pass a crappy law in the middle of the night, don't be upset when we start ripping it up in the middle of the night.
Using budget reconciliation, which only needs 50 votes, which is awesome.
I remember waking up and like Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of people were holding hands crossing the street. I'm like, what? What happened? It was like a Sunday morning. What the what?
It was Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I want you to walk me through something. You had a thing on – you were going to write it for the LoftusParty.com. Mm-hmm. It was this article, Something Bad Happened, and I'm so dense I couldn't understand it. What is it?
Something Great Happened. Okay.
See, that's how bad I am. Something bad happened.
Congress, the Republican Congress decided to, in this budget reconciliation, start dismantling Obamacare. That's wonderful.
Yay.
In this budget, they have also increased the deficit and the debt by 50% over the next several years. So they still have more work to do. I didn't send them to D.C. just to dismantle Obamacare. I sent them to D.C. because they're supposed to be the party of limited government and less spending. That ain't happening.
I've heard. Yeah. They want to increase the debt ceiling so high that they just never have to deal with it because it's bad optics.
It's bad optics, but you know what else it is? It's really bad politics because we're not stupid.
Yeah. It's incredibly irresponsible. That would be one thing that it is. It's what I like to call douchebaggery.
Well, now there's a couple components to this, right? So one of them is the wall that Mexico is never going to pay us back for. I'm sorry.
But there's a million ways that Mexico can pay, and I'm getting pretty excited about the wall.
I think the wall is throwing good money after bad. It's going to have maintenance costs. I think it's ridiculous, but we can agree to disagree on that.
All right.
Some of it is the wall, and border taxes on Mexico isn't Mexico paying for the wall. It's us paying for the wall by increased prices for Mexican goods. So I'm tired of hearing that one too. And part of it is spending for the military. And then there's some rules changes that they put in there, one of which is the debt ceiling. Here's my thing. If that's what you want to do, great. Now I would like Donald Trump to come forth with all the waste, fraud, and abuse he talked about during the campaign. That was how he was going to do it, through waste, fraud, and abuse, right? This was not going to happen. We were not going to have more debt. I would like him to say, Congress, you go back, you dig in there, buds, and you figure out how to do this right. So I am actually challenging President-elect Trump to buck his caucus and say, you still have some more work to do.
There's a very good chance that'll happen.
Because increasing the debt and increasing the deficit is not okay. And you have, here's the thing, in the Senate, most of the time, other than appointments and the budget, you have a 60-vote threshold. Okay. This is your chance to get a lot of stuff done. Like, oh, I don't know, eliminating entitlement benefits for illegal aliens. That would be huge. Huge. Do well,
let's
that.
See, let's see what he does. Let's see what he does. You're getting all bent out of shape over something that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, no. I'm irritated. I'm irritated as all get out at the Republican Senate and the Republican House that are going to pass this thing.
There will be hell to pay.
I don't know.
I remember when I started doing the Flip Side TV show, and I did some joke about how in the under the Bush administration, when Republicans ruled the roost, they spent like crazy.
Right.
They bought the farm and they bought the matching purse and blah blah blah, and people went crazy. Like that was a television studio full of conservatives, and they went nuts. Like, well, that will not fly. It will not fly.
That is the show where you said if they didn't fix themselves, that you were going to start your own political party with a cool logo, like a flying tiger that spits fire. And what have we done?
A flying tiger that spits fire. Oh, my gosh. Have you been to the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Loftus Party?
No.
It's hilarious.
Is here, it?
Yeah, there's this dude that, like, he's a big, big-time anti-Trumper, and he hated Hillary, I don't know when this happened, but he's him and some guy are, like, having a conversation how it's, like, the end of days. It's really bad, and someone's going to have to start a new political thing, and someone's going to have to this guy writes, he goes, have you checked out this thing, the Loftus Party?
I've been seeing a lot. Oh, yeah, I did see that.
A lot of people are talking about that. And then this guy, at Jaded, his name is at Jaded by Politics.
It's actually a her. I know her.
Okay. It's named after a comedian named Michael Loftus, stating he's on a mission from God. Seems like a cult. Like, really? Like, when did we say we were on a mission from God? When did that happen?
We never did, but I mean, we're kind of on a mission from God to, like, tell people to just relax, have a little fun, right?
Certainly that's
and
not
be a little happier.
The website. That's not on the website.
No.
We're not on any kind of, we never claimed to be on a mission from God. We're certainly, I don't even know if we're on a have a good time. And there's hope on the horizon for the Loftus Party. There's some cooler people hanging out. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. There's so many prudes out there. There are so many prudes. And if you are a prude,
don't look at the Daily Dose.
Good Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
Good Lord in heaven. Check. I want a lot of people on the right need to get up every morning and check their butthole for sticks. Now, there might be a big stick up there, and you need to remove that and start your day.
Well, what I would like everybody on the right to remember, and I get into discussions with my friends on the right about this all the time, either you like the 10th Amendment or you don't, and that's the one that says if it's not explicit in here, it goes back to the states. So stop wanting all this crap done at the federal level when you freak out when Democrats do it, and let it go back to the states. Let California be California. Let Georgia be Georgia. Let Iowa be Iowa on most stuff.
Let Hawaii be Hawaii. Let New Hampshire be New Hampshire. Let New York. We could do this at least 50 times.
We could, but, like, I have friends on the right that are like, we need a federal law for this. No, we don't.
Oh, my gosh.
No, we don't.
Doesn't that make you want to, like, smack them upside the head with a broom?
Yeah, the hypocrisy is real.
Here's what we need to do. We need to pass a federal law that says, like, no, we shouldn't. No, we shouldn't. Yeah, that's crazy.
That never works out the way you think it's going to.
Oh, it always bites you on the hiney. It always bites you on the hiney. What else did I want to talk about? Did I mention that people on the left need to start watching? Here's what I did. This will cleanse your palate, America. This will help. Turn on BBC World News. Like,
why?
Because the world continues to spin. Other things are happening. People are like, oh my gosh, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And you're like, there's still like a lot of good in the world. There's still some wonderful things happening. And there's a boatload of shenanigans on there, but there's a much bigger picture. Don't freak out.
Yeah, or they could check our news feed on the front page for Reuters. Reuters does a pretty good job covering world stuff.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. God bless you, Reuters. Soon, I can't wait till we have our own news department. That'll be great. That'll be great. I'll go in. I'll run in there. Stop the presses. Ringling Brothers is going out of business.
That made me want to cry.
Really?
I used to go to the circus all the time as a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
And you enjoyed it?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I love all those big animals, and yeah, I liked it.
I was always uncomfortable at the circus. I never liked it.
Really?
Yeah, the clowns gave me the creeps. I always thought it was just a matter of time before the animals went wild, as animals will do. And I felt bad for the elephants. I felt bad for the lions. All of it. All of it. And I tell you, Ringling Brothers, they might have like closed their doors. I guess they're going to be on tour through May. But right. Man, they were over when Cirque du Soleil started. Mm-hmm. Cirque du Soleil is just it's a much better circus. I'm sorry. This is how capitalism works. I'm very sentimental and I get attached to old things and I get very wistful and I long for the days of yore, blah, blah, blah. However, some Russian or some French dude or whoever started Cirque du Soleil, probably French, they crushed Ringling Brothers.
Yeah.
Cirque du Soleil is like, that's what Ringling Brothers should have been doing a long time ago.
I guess. Hey, but speaking of animals that, you know, might go wild at some point, did you see any of that footage from the Portland Zoo?
Oh, the animals in the snow?
Oh my God, whoever thunk you'd see an elephant throwing a snowball? I was cracking up.
Fantastic. It's yeah, and the fantastic.
Polar bear, all kinds of happy.
I swear it really, like, you need those moments in your life. I remember a few months ago, somebody posted this little short film of these dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting for waves, and then the wave would come in, and then all the dolphins would like ride the wave. They were just playing.
Yep.
And I'm like, life is good. There is still beauty in the world. There's hope for us all. And that's just a thing of awesomeness.
Well, and I post the downside of that most of the time on the Daily Dose. I did post the animals from Portland, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ridiculous things, like the poor little midget bullfighter that was getting humped by a bull.
That's funny.
It was hysterical and so wrong.
Was it part of a show or did it just happen?
It was
happen?
A girl.
Wait, a girl midget bullfighter?
Yes.
This happened like in the ring?
Bullfighter in the ring with a small bull and it knocked her over and instead of goring her, it tried to hump her.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
It's wrong on so many levels. But
no, it's right. Listen, I always root for the bull. I always do. And that's what you get. I'm not kidding you. Since
no,
I was
did.
A kid, and I tell you what, that is the best revenge for that bull. Yeah?
Yeah.
Think you're going to trick me with your little cape, and then you're going to stab me? Guess what? I'm going to bang you in front of everybody in this audience.
This little blonde midget bullfighter with the funny little hat and everything, and yeah, that's what happened. And that's we can right. thank our good tweet, Beaker O'Donovan, for that one, because he sent it to me.
Beaker. Good dude.
Good dude.
Good dude. All right. I feel I'm getting the feeling in my bones. And I want to apologize, everybody. I tuned up my guitar. I'm going to have a song ready for next week. I'm just afraid it's not holding a tune. I might have issues with the neck on this thing.
And yeah. You were so excited about it.
I really was. I want to have a song and I want to have Chewbacca do backups. I don't know how I'm going to do it. John Lewis, stop being a dick. John Lewis, don't say that stuff on Twitter. You know, it was going to be that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But when your guitar doesn't hold a tune, it would just sound horrible.
I did rectify the Christmas miss. I bought socks.
I saw that. I was very happy for you.
Yes, I was very happy too.
Sometimes a girl just has to buy her own socks in this crazy world.
Well, you know, I thought it was an easy Christmas get, and I was wrong.
Yeah, you think that's a no-brainer.
Just shove a couple pairs in the stocking. It's all good.
But you know what? I have to think, in all the years I've been married, I've never bought my wife socks.
But I explicitly asked for them.
Then there is zero excuse. There's zero excuse. I want socks. Give me socks. And then they don't.
Yep.
Bad, bad, bad. Okay, let's rock and roll here with some Michael Topias.
Okay.
All right. Do you have one ready to go?
I do.
All right, hold please. I'll do the intro. You know, in the real world, there's a lot of petty laws and petty rules that we're supposed to live by. They don't make sense. Well, there's a place that exists, everybody. It's called Michaeltopia. And in Michaeltopia, we have a different set of laws, and they're awesome. So here with this week's Michaeltopia, the Liberty Gypsy and yours truly. Hit it.
In Michaeltopia, when you borrow your mother's car and the little orange out of gas light comes on, you are obligated to put at least a couple bucks in it.
All right. I think I know where this story is going.
Why is that?
I hate the light. That thing, it terrifies me.
Like, I know, because instant, I'm like, how much longer?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Like, the instant it comes on, it's like being in a bomb squad. Like, I got to get gas in this thing now. Who did that to you, Stacey?
My son.
Well, yeah, he's in big, big trouble. He's in big trouble. And you know, I didn't see it. Is that what it was? I didn't see it?
No, we haven't discussed it yet.
Oh. It's coming.
It's a little fun in the bunker today.
Yeah. It's a coming. All right. In Michael, if you cannot work with the elected president of the United States and you just say he's illegitimate and I can't work with him, you're invited to step down. Evidently, you don't want to participate in government because I guess if we can just say elections are illegitimate, and they don't count. Well, I'm going to say yours didn't count. So, John Lewis, thanks for marching with Dr. King, but we're done. And if I want to hear from you again, I'll go buy a copy of your comic book.
Well, didn't he have a regular book, too?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
There was some book that supposedly sales spiked by 800% after that. Like, he actually benefited financially from this little tussle that he got into.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And that was the great thing. That's what I tweeted out. It's like the great thing about this whole Donald Trump and Lewis fight is that people will actually hopefully research John Lewis and go, wow, that guy's just a loser.
Yeah. You can put a picture of John Lewis on one side and a cat on the other and just say one of these, you know, lives off the generosity of others. And really, you could pick either one.
You're always going to be right. Okay, yeah. You got another one?
I do.
Yay!
If you are a grocery store, you can't just not carry a certain cut of meat.
Well, I need specifics.
Okay, there's major groups of meat that people eat. Lamb is one of them.
Okay.
If you're going to be a grocery store and have a butcher department, you have to carry them all.
So your grocery store doesn't have lamb?
Today they didn't have lamb. They didn't have a certain cut of steak. They didn't have flat leaf parsley, and they didn't have red enchilada sauce.
I don't know where you and your fellow Liberty Gypsies decided to camp this week, but I think you need to get the caravan and you need to move to the next town.
No, I just had to go to the next grocery store.
What's the grocery store?
This is my local Ingles, which bar none has the best prices on everything. So I always go there first. Yeah.
Is this the grocery store that started on Little House on the Prairie?
No. It's a Southern chain, and I like it.
Southern chain better.
I just
have
didn't
some
like it.
Lamb.
I didn't like it today because it made me late.
Exactly. Lamb. Now, when you cook the lamb, do you serve it with the mint jelly?
Not this time. No.
Good for you. Good for you.
Serving it with butter beans.
I get deeply offended. If you are such a crappy cook, that you need to cover the taste of your meat with like a harsh thing like mint jelly, you don't know how to make lamb right. Let the meat stand on its own. It's like putting ketchup on filet mignon. Do you hear me talking, Liberty Gypsy?
I'm doing the good Southern thing. I'm doing it with butter beans.
Okay. In Michaeltopia, we don't threaten to kill blind people just because they're going to sing for a president.
What?
Yeah. Andrea Bocelli. The opera singer is backing out of the inauguration because of the number of death threats he's received.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations, people on the left. Congratulations, progressive. You have intimidated a blind man. You have scared a man who lives in darkness. and all he does is sing and bring joy to the world and make people happy. But you stopped him in his tracks.
Okay, Brad Paisley, huge country star, down here with all us racists and rednecks, sang for Barack Obama like 10 times. Did anybody threaten to kill him?
No.
This is just ridiculous.
I'm thinking about it. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And that's just shameful. That is just shameful.
Well,
even American. He can't even vote. He didn't do anything wrong.
Not that not being American prevents you from voting in a lot of places.
And here's what CNN scroll was. And this is what I'm talking about. They got a twist. They got a stick in the knife and then they got to twist it. And they're like, Andrea Bocelli backed out of performing at the inauguration. His management or his people say he had to back out due to the number of death threats. So the Trump inauguration will now be Toby Keith. President Obama had Mary J.
Toby
Blige.
Keith, really?
Yeah, that's it.
I was going to say Toby Keith's a Democrat.
Well, but CNN goes to great lengths to talk about all the people that performed at Obama's. President Obama had Bruce Springsteen. He had Usher. He had Mary J. Blige. He had U2. He had Bon Jovi. He had Stevie Wonder.
To kill them.
Right? But they're like, oh, Obama's was better. Obama's was better. I don't like him. I don't like him.
Obama's made me cry.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. But that's great. You've scared a blind person. You can definitely take the moral high ground.
Props to you. Props to you.
Okay. In Michaeltopia, we don't sell flip-flops with the picture of Mahatma Gandhi on them.
What?
Some company decided it would be a good idea to make flip-flops with the portrait of Gandhi like on the flip-flops. So if you have
like, are you putting your foot on them or are you stomping them?
Yes,
into the
you are literally putting your feet on the face of this incredibly tall. His face is on the right one, and you can walk on. You can just walk around all day stomping on the face of Mahatma Gandhi. Like, the people in India are a little upset, and they've asked Amazon to stop selling them. Amazon has quickly agreed.
Oh, good.
That was hilarious.
But they still sell Che Guevara shirts and Fidel Castro mugs. But
well,
whatever.
Those guys are heroes. Che Guevara, that guy invented Coke. What?
You see that whole Cuban policy thing Barack Obama put with 6 days out?
Yeah, and I was a little offended.
I was way offended.
Wet leg, dry leg. What's up with that?
What?
That's what they call the policy, the wet leg, dry leg.
Oh, I didn't even hear that part. I'm just offended that we no longer, after a longstanding policy of giving refuge to people from one of the most oppressive regimes in the world, are just saying, nope, we've normalized relations. Everything's all better.
And I love how people think. They're like, ooh, look at this trickaroo Obama did at the 11th hour. Whatever will Donald Trump do? They still, these dumb knuckleheads still think it's politics as usual. Here's what Donald Trump is due. He's not been backed into a corner. He's going to go, no, those Cubans escaped a totalitarian regime. Mm-hmm. They escaped political persecution. Welcome to America, you guys. You're allowed to stay. And they'll go, well, that's not fair. Why can't the Mexicans stay? I'm like, well, that's just Mexico. Like, they're not in political jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so there's a double standard. Yeah.
Has been for years.
Yeah, and he'll move right on. This has been a fun show. I'm actually filling up with mucus right now, so this is the perfect time to let it go.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. What did we start the show with? We started the show with Stranger Things.
Yes.
I'm gonna watch the last few episodes this evening, but it's fantastic, and it's good to see Winona Ryder working again, although she cries a lot in this. Like, I'm ready. I'm five episodes in. I'm ready for an episode where she doesn't cry every second she's on camera.
I'm going to go finish learning about the Punisher with Daredevil.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Well, thank you so much. Go to theloftistparty.com for more. Make sure you're our friend on Facebook. That's a big one. Our Facebook is – how are we doing on Facebook, Stacey?
We're almost to our next – plateau or level.
So woohoo! We're close.
We're like three people level. Away.
Come on! Come on, America! All right, well, we will be right back here next week. I might have my buddy Pete Corriale join us. He's a very funny dude. Yeah, he's a good dude. We were going to have Rodney Lee Conover this week, but Rodney's like, I'm going to be driving somewhere. I'll be in my car. And I'm like, no, dude, the audio's going to totally blow. So you've just been rescheduled.
Rodney's always in his car.
Right? It's a little odd. Sometimes, like, what do you do for a living, man? Are you like a private detective from 1980?
I'm starting to get concerned he lives in his car, but I don't know.
Oh, he's got a ranch. Rodney, oh, okay. You think the Liberty Gypsy's got a nice camp. I'm pretty sure private detective Rodney Lee Conover's got a good camp. All right, you people are wonderful. I love you all. If a friend of yours on the left is freaking out, be patient with them because they think the world is ending. So be kind, America. I love you. We'll see you next week.